really what we're talking about is the whole culture changing. I mean, you see it in adults and in children. It's all over the place.
And described, because as I was reading your book over the weekend, a lot of my definition was, I think, not fully complete. So describe to people what narcissism is.
Well, the simplest way to think about it is having an inflated sense of yourself. You think you're better than you are. You think you're better than other people. You think you're better looking, smarter, maybe more powerful, more dominant than others.
Better, stronger, faster.
Better, stronger, faster, exactly. At the same time, you lack empathy and you lack really warm, caring relationships. You can be charismatic or outgoing, but the depth of relationships isn't there. And the final piece is you spend a lot of time in your life making yourself look good and feel good, sort of boosting your own ego, boosting your own self-esteem. So you brag, you might show off, name drop, you know, take responsibility for good things, blame everybody else around you for bad things, etc. So life becomes very much about that, regulating yourself and your image.
And one of the things, as I was reading through it, and I kept, of course, it's like a holding up a mirror to your own life, because there's probably some of this in all of us, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a trait where we, you know, people vary from very high levels to very low levels. And all of us, you know, wrestle with issues of ego, and in some cases it's helpful, and in some cases it really hurts us.
But one of the things that I found is you write about, I mean, I think most people would think, oh, you know, people are narcissistic because they're either very successful or they are powerful in some form or fashion. But you actually write that it almost undermines your competitiveness in this marketplace today, that it's not helpful.
It really is. It's really a double-edged sword, narcissism. I mean, there are things narcissism is good for. It's good for picking up people at bars. It's good for emerging as a leader among strangers, you know, if you're in a new group of people.
Yeah.
It's good for, you know, performing in public, performing on television, for example. That kind of confidence helps.
Which maybe even on the radio.
Right. Well, any of those situations, I think it's useful for. But then it leads to all sorts of problems. I mean, you don't learn from your mistakes because you're blaming other people. You manipulate other people so they learn not to trust you. People like you initially but eventually dislike you. You make risky decisions. So you thwart your own efforts. And you really hurt other people. And the people who really suffer from narcissism are your coworkers, your colleagues, children, spouse. It's the consequences are really experienced by people around you.
And it also, as I was reading through this book, and I'm fascinated as these younger people are coming into the market. My goodness, very, very hard to manage this kind of person.
Yes, I mean, and I hear this from people, you know, all the time. And believe me, this is not everybody. This is not condemning a generation. I mean, you have people over in, you know, Iraq who've won the Congressional Medal of Honor. I mean, there's wonderful people out there, but what you find, the complaints are people with high levels of entitlement who demand to be in decision-making roles very quickly, that have very extrinsic goals, money, fame, a lot of issues where people want a lot of more flexibility in a job than maybe we're used to, so-called work-life balance.
Mm.
So those are the issues that come up a lot. Entitlement's a big one.
Of course I can do this. I should be able to do this because it's me.
It's me.
Right. Well, and the phrase, you know, enough about me. What do you think about me was the thing that kept coming
yeah.
up to, you know, that, you know, so focused on our own world that the rest of the world almost doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, there's a self-centeredness and, that comes with narcissism. You even see it in conversations where people will turn the conversation back to themselves, their own interests, where just the circle always comes back to the self.
So two sides of this question. One is if you have somebody in your life that is a narcissist, what do you do? And then if you're reading this book and you're going, oh my goodness, all of this strikes a little close to home,
yeah.
What does that person do? So let's start with the person. If you have, you know, you're hearing about all this and you're going, oh my goodness, that is my spouse, that is my coworker, that is my employee, that is my boss. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with this?
I mean, it's tough because the easiest answer is just to sort of distance yourself from the relationship, get away. But it's very hard to do. It's very hard to do in the workplace if you have a very narcissistic boss. It's hard to do if, you know, in a romantic relationship, especially if it's marriage and, you know, there's a lot involved with that.
Yeah.
So you end up having to figure out ways to protect yourself, keep a very, you know, strict relationship, take notes on things, this is especially in the workplace, protect yourself from being manipulated by the person. You can also use somebody's narcissism to manipulate him or her, you know, puff him up, become a yes
right.
man, a sycophant, whatever. I mean, this is people do this all the time in Washington, I guess.
Yeah.
Probably a good way to get ahead. But I think the best advice is to recognize it and just don't trust, don't put, make yourself vulnerable, keep good notes, et cetera, and just try to protect yourself the best you can.
We're talking to Keith Campbell. He is author, one of the authors of The Narcissism Epidemic, Living in the Age of Entitlement. So if you're reading through, hearing this, or if you've read this book and all of a sudden you're saying, hold on, you know, this is a little bit of a mirror, what did those people do?
You know, at the end of, you know, sort of at the lower end where you go, look, I've got a lot of these narcissistic traits, and a lot of us do. I think there are things you can do that are just as a practice to overcome them or to minimize them. I mean, a simple thing, not, it's hard, but it's simple, is just practice taking responsibility when things go wrong, not just for the good things.
Yeah.
So practice, you know, being responsible for bad outcomes in your life. Practice having compassion or closeness to others. That's something we find in the research. If you feel empathy for other people, it acts as a buffer to narcissism. And it's something you can just, you know, mentally work on. Another thing, which sounds a little odd, but seems to work, is self-compassion. Having some compassion for your own behaviors, seems to buffer it. So there are those kind of things you can do as a practice in the mild end of things. And that if it's something that's more significant, I think seeking therapy is worthwhile.
The thing that kept coming to me as I kept reading was these aren't people who listen much. So listening is a big start.
I think that's a wonderful practice. I mean, there's mindfulness practices, and part of that is literally paying attention to other people when they talk. Sort of in your own mind, just going, how do I get it back to me? What about, how does this relate to me? Yeah, I think that's a great practice.
In a sense, it seems like a lot of this is very cultural. I mean, now we have a TV network specifically focused on each and every one of our needs, you know, from cooking to, you know,
yeah.
your political view. Everything is focused on making us happy, and it's almost hard to step out of that.
Yeah, we are products of our culture. This is something that we see all around us in this channelization in the media where everybody gets their news from a source that they tend to agree with. People get their own programs, like you were saying, in a very customized way. I mean, we spend time on the web where we, you know, work on our image. We develop lots of sort of shallow connections with other people. We're taught to brand ourselves. I mean, they're even teaching that in high school now, how to, you know, think of yourself as a brand, like a product. I mean, it's all around us, and we have to know how to do this to survive in culture.
And then, I mean, I think conventional wisdom says that most narcissists are people who have very poor self-images, so they're boosting themselves up for the public to see.
That's not really the case. I mean, with most of the people, especially you're going to see at the work in the workplace, the more grandiose, the more dominant narcissistic types, they have high self-esteem. I mean, they think they're better than they are, but they also feel pretty good about themselves deep down inside at the surface. Occasionally in very clinical settings in psychiatrist's office, you will see people who are what we might think of as vulnerable narcissists. People are paranoid and have low self-esteem, and there are those people out there, but they're not as likely to be your boss or the person you're meeting, dating, as the more grandiose forms.
Mm. So one lesson that you hope people take away if they read your book?
I think we need to look at our culture and look at the markers of our culture and think about what it means for people who are, 10 or 12 or 13. And is this really the culture we want to pass on to them? Or are there things that, values we have that are, maybe a little more enduring that we want to pass on?